Chapter 5. Three Broken Threads.
Mr. Holmes.
Sir Henry stood up, his voice firm and indignant.
There is no devil in hell that can stop me. I'm going to my family's home, and that's my final decision. Now I'm going to walk back to my hotel with Dr. Mortimer. Come for lunch with us later if you like.
Our visitors went out, and suddenly Holmes became a man of action.
Your hat and your boots, Watson, quick, not a moment to lose.
A minute later, we were in the street. We followed Sir Henry and Mortimer, and were in Regent Street, when Holmes whispered,
"There's our man, Watson."
Following the direction of his intense eyes, I saw a cab on the other side of the street. It stopped and started at the same time as Sir Henry and Mortimer's cab. There was a man inside with a black beard, and his furtive eyes were staring at us now. Suddenly, the cab drove rapidly away.
"I knew it!"
cried Holmes.
"Sir Henry has a shadow, and he is a clever man. We lost him, but I took the number of the cab. Now, let's go to the office where that bright boy Cartwright works."
In the office, Holmes gave the boy, who occasionally carried messages for us, a list of 23 hotels near Charing Cross. He asked him to visit them all and look for a copy of The Times with holes in it.
"It isn't very probable that you will find it,"
Holmes told the boy, who looked at the famous detective in reverence.
"But good luck, my boy. Come on, Watson. Let's discover the identity of cab driver 2704.
We asked the cab company manager to send the driver to Baker Street after work. It was now lunchtime, so we went to the Northumberland Hotel, where we found Sir Henry outside his room holding an old boot. He was furious.
"This affair of my boots is really exasperating,"
he cried when he saw us.
"But didn't you lose a new boot?"
asked Holmes.
"I did, but now an old black one is missing too. If they can't find it, I'm leaving this hotel."
"It is all very strange,"
said Holmes.
"But we have several threads that we can follow. Let's eat first, and then we can discuss these affairs."
After lunch, Holmes asked Baskerville his intentions.
"To go to Baskerville Hall at the end of the week,"
replied the baronet.
"A good decision,"
said Holmes.
"In London, among millions of people, it is difficult to discover who is following you, and to prevent danger if it exists."
"Following me?"
shouted Sir Henry.
"Who can it be?"
"Do you know any man associated with the Hall with a black beard?"
asked Holmes.
"Yes, Barrymore the butler. I believe he and his wife are a very respectable couple. Sir Charles left them £1,000 in his will."
"Ah! Did they know this fact before he died?"
Holmes asked, very interested.
"Yes,"
said Mortimer.
"But I also received £1,000. I hope I am not under suspicion."
"And I, £740,000.
interrupted Baskerville.
"My uncle was very rich, and a man can play a dangerous game for money. I hope my good fortune can restore the glories of the Baskervilles as my uncle wanted."
"Well said,"
Holmes smiled.
"I'm going to send a telegram to Barrymore to check he is at the Hall and not in London. Sir Henry, make your preparations to go to Devonshire, but you must have someone with you at the Hall. I can't come because I have to solve another case."
He looked at me.
"But my friend Watson is a good man in a crisis."
"Dr. Watson, if you come to the Hall, I will be very grateful,"
said the baronet. The promise of adventure fascinated me, and Holmes's words and Baskerville's gratitude were flattering. "I will come with pleasure," I said.
"Report everything to me,"
said Holmes, standing up to leave.
"There's a train at 10:30 from Paddington on Saturday that is ideal."
We were at the door when Sir Henry shouted with joy,
"My new boot, here in the corner! That's very strange. I looked carefully before lunch."
Lost boots that mysteriously return. Warning letters and spies. Holmes and I contemplated these strange events at home. After dinner, two telegrams arrived. One said that Barrymore was at the Hall. The other, that Cartwright had nothing to report.
"Two broken threads, Watson,"
said Holmes as the bell rang. At the door was the cab driver that we wanted to interrogate, a worried expression on his face.
"Don't worry, my good man,"
said Holmes.
"I only want information about the man you drove down Regent Street this morning."
"He was a detective, sir,"
answered the driver.
He said his name was Sherlock Holmes.
For an instant, my friend was speechless. But then he started laughing.
Well, Watson, our third thread is broken. And we know we have an audacious enemy.